Blog Talk Radio.
Minister Dunlap, and I have the pleasure of co-hosting Freedom Radio with Elder Skeen now, since God led her on this journey last year. And let me say, it has definitely been a journey. We are approaching the time where we are getting up to an election. And here on Freedom Radio, what we're going to do is we're going to continue to be as God has ordained for us to be, and we're going to continue to engage in responsible and respectable dialogue. Here on Freedom Radio, everybody's opinion matters, and we really thank you, the listeners, for taking your time with us every Tuesday night at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. And again, we just say God bless you. We want to just tell you that if you want to join the conversation, we're going to do it a little bit different this evening. We do want you to press 1, but we're going to come in about 8:45 and allow our listeners to make comments. We'll come back again about 9 o'clock, 9:15, and we'll see where God leads us and see if we'll be able to go past the 9:30 hour this evening. So tonight, what we have for you Freedom Radio listeners is what I believe is going to be one of the greatest shows that I've had the pleasure of hosting. We're going to continue on with the dialogue that we had from August 7th and the September 4th show. And if you missed it, we ask that you just go back in and check out the archives. The title of the shows was Politics in the Church, Part 1 and Part 2. When we had those shows, I must say that I'm grateful to God for the guests that we had. We had Reverend Thompson, we had Dr. Truss, we had Brother Sanderson, and all of them came from their perspectives as Democrats, Republicans, and even as an independent. But for many of the listeners, what we've heard, the feedback was that was the first time that people heard respectable dialogue, even though they had different political views. I don't know about you, but that soothes my heart, and I believe God is pleased with that because we don't see a lot of that in the world. So we want everybody to know and understand that it's not about us totally agreeing with the other side, but it's about us being able to communicate with each other in love, and I'm convinced that's just what God wants us to do. So we had a lot of feedback, and not so much about what we were talking about, but it's the manner in which we had our conversation. Tonight, we have a special guest, and we just have a fun-packed, filled evening scheduled for you tonight. Tonight, we have with us Pastor Bill Holmes, and this man has been in ministry for 14 years, and the last 7 years, he's been pastor of his gathering house in Phoenix City, Alabama. One thing I like about what God is doing there is the ministry that they have is called His Storehouse Food Bank, if I say it correctly, Pastor. And they bless people every second Sunday of the month with not only physical food, but spiritual food for those who are in need. To me, that's a testament of what community is actually about. So without further ado, let us just welcome Pastor Holmes. Pastor Holmes, just say hello to the listeners.
Good evening, everybody.
All right, Freedom Radio, here it is. Time to get right into it. Again, if you would like to add something to the conversation or ask a question of Pastor Holmes, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll get to you at that particular time that we spoke about a few minutes ago. So where are we going tonight, Freedom Radio? Tonight we're going to just dig our heels into a conversation about voting because this is pretty much the hot topic. This is what everybody's talking about. This is what both political candidates, what both sides of the aisle, what all the candidates on all levels are fighting, stealing, begging, lying, spending money for, whatever it is. And we're not just talking about the presidential election. There's a whole bunch of other elections that are going on as well that are very, very important. So tonight, what we just want to explore is, what is God's role in all of this? What is God saying about this whole process? What does God want? So with that, Pastor, let's just dig right into it. What is your comments on those three questions?
well, what's God's role in this? I believe his role has to be at the center. Everything that we do needs to be focused and centered around his word. And if we step outside of that, then that's when we start getting ourselves in trouble. As far as your other question as to, please repeat if you will.
Sure. You know, where is God at in this whole process? We see a lot of things going on, and I believe that not just us as Christians, but others who are non-Christians or of other faiths may ask that question, okay, where is God in this? You know, we see the debates, or not the debates, we haven't seen that yet, but we see the backbiting, we see the bickering back and forth, we see how man is treating their neighbor. And when you see those things, you know, it may question, bring a question into your mind, where is God at? Why is God allowing this to happen? Things of that nature.
Well, I'm of a firm belief that God allows to happen what we allow to happen.
Hmm.
You know, it says in the scripture that he gave us dominion and authority. And if we don't use that authority properly, we get ourselves in trouble.
Hmm.
And that's maybe a different perspective than most people think, but that's strictly my opinion. But as far as where he is in this, I don't see him in this, in the midst of it. Let's just be honest. We've kind of left God on the back burner. And, as far as both political parties or most of it, that's kind of the last thing that we think about. I don't hear much from either candidate in that regard. So I don't see where he's been at any focus of anyone. So.
Okay. So your take is, God is not the focus of the candidates. We know that God is in control. We know that God sees everything. We know anything that happens, he's allowing it to happen. But he's also given us free will. So if we don't step into our rightful place and our rightful authority, or within our rightful authority as men and women of God, especially those who are running for political office, if that's what they profess they are, then we should be able to see some fruits of it. The title for tonight's show is Freedom Radio's Christ-Centered Politics, and God gave me that term because the other two shows was Politics in the Church, and I can tell you once I put that topic out there, the listenership went down dramatically, and that's okay because I really have to just be true to God and what he's called me to do, so that's the topic that this is the area that he put out there for me, but I really believe that now, especially one day before the national debate, about 30 days or so before the presidential election and other elections that will occur on that day, it's important for me, and I think it's also to God, for us to talk about Christ being in the center of politics, because I believe there's still yet time for individuals to make some decisions. I think there's still yet time for individuals' mindsets to be changed. And this is not about being right or wrong. It's really about following God. So, the question that I have, and let's talk about that. When I thought about Christ-centered politics, I said, well, who does Christ-centered politics apply to? Because everybody who listens to Freedom Radio may not be a believer of God. We know some may be of other religions, and that's fine. We respect everybody. But should Christ-centered politics apply only to those who we know or believe are Christians or who profess they're Christians, or do we try to apply Christ-centered politics to everybody that's out there? Is that how we try to make the whole world formulate around us?
Well, I just trying to go at it from a little different perspective, but I believe personally that people have to simply get around the fact that God is in control, and they have to understand that he's in control. Whether you believe or you don't believe in God or that there is a God, that's a big controversy within our political system. I guess there is no simple answer to that question. So, I just think as Christians, we know that this nation was based and founded on Christianity. We know that it was structured around the Ten Commandments. That was the basis of everything that this nation has ever stood for. And we've began to erode that and take that away. And because of that, we see the things that we see. We see, the church has gotten to where, they allow pretty much anything. Everybody's opinion goes, and we no longer have a Christ-centered church in a lot of places.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a reflection. Our country is a reflection of the church. That, I mean, I really believe that.
Mm.
And because of that, you know, we just absolutely see, we see chaos. So.
Wow. I know there's some individuals that are on the other end of the line that may want to go ahead and jump in right now. You know, we're not being controversial. We're just being truthful. I really believe that. So I thank you, Pastor, for being truthful, because as men and women of God, if we're not truthful about what's going on, how can we expect others to really follow this Christ, this Jesus, the one that we profess our profession? So with that, everybody has things that are important to them. I grew up in the inner city, so poverty is something important to me because I saw it all around. You have grown up in a different, you didn't grow up in Philly, you grew up in a different area. So how do we respect, we want to keep Christ in the center of this. Christ respected everybody. He didn't agree with what everybody did. We know that from reading the Bible, but he did respect everybody. So how do we as Christians dealing with this political system that we're talking about, how do we embrace the difference of others when we have political views? I have an answer, but I want the listeners to hear from you and what your viewpoint is, how we actually embrace the difference of others when things are important to us, me personally, and you have a difference of opinion.
Sure. I just say this, you know, we have to act with everyone in love. But in that, we have to understand what love is and the responsibilities of loving. You know, we can see in the scriptures that, you know, Christ, we know, loved everyone. That was the reason that he died. But we also see the chastisement. We also see the rebuke. You know, so it doesn't mean that there aren't things that are wrong. And it's kind of gotten in our society to where we think if someone thinks that we don't agree with them, that we don't love them. And that's not necessarily the case. So we have to get the difference between right and wrong, and we have to establish what's right and what's wrong, and in that show love in the how to do that. You know, there has to be a set of rules, and there are no rules anymore. And because of that, as I said, it becomes chaos. So that's kind of, as far as how to answer a question to that, you know, you're never going to please everyone.
Right.
You know, what pleases one is not certainly going to please the next person. So there is no easy answer, but we have to understand this, that if we have Christ at the center, then your opinion, my opinion, none of that opinions matter, because it's only his opinion that matters. So we can step outside of ourselves. I mean, if we honestly are Christ-centered, then we died. You know, we no longer exist. It's Christ that lives through us that exists. So our opinion doesn't matter. And that's really where Christians get to come from a different standpoint and understand that. I hope that answers your question from my perspective.
Well, you know, it's not about really answering the question. It's really just throwing things out there, because I truly believe that people right now need to hear a different point of view. People right now need to hear so that God can speak to their hearts and understand that, okay, maybe the way I thought about Mitt Romney was not the right way. Maybe the way I think about President Obama is not the right way. Let me take it a step further. My perception and what I feel about the Democratic Party is not God's way of thinking. The way that I think and feel about the Republican Party is not God's way of thinking. And I'm strong on that. For me, I'm glad that you and I are on the same sheet of music, because when I was thinking about the difference, I go back to the point that this is about diversity. This is about embracing, quote-unquote, the other. I'm an other to you. You're an other to me. But we're always going to be an other to somebody else. So is what we're seeing in somebody else is just as important as what somebody sees in us. So that takes me to this. You said love. This is the foundation of Christ. So love has to be the foundation of politics. And I was looking up a couple of definitions. trying to get a clear definition. I like to bring people to a even level playing field. So one of the definitions for politics is the total complex of relations between people living in society. Another one was relations or conduct in a particular area of experience, especially as seen or dealt with from a political point of view. So that lets us know that politics is not one-sided. At least it lets me know that, Pastor, that politics is not one-sided. So then let me just tell you about my political commitments. My political commitments are really the same. Number one is follow God, and two is follow Jesus, who said exactly what you were saying about love. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment of these, Mark 12, 30, 31. A new commandment I give you, love you one another. As I have loved you, you must also love one another. By everyone who knows this, they'll see that you are my disciples if you love one another, John 13. So for me, a Christ-centered politics has a love ethic that's built inside of it. And if we, as those who profess Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's how we'll deal with politics. And it has nothing to do, in my opinion, if I'm running for political office. It's what I'm standing up to and standing up for during this whole political process. Oftentimes, I'm hearing that we have conversations about different things, again, that are important to us. So we have, for example, the gay marriage conversation. We have abortion. Those are political platforms that both sides have used or are using to gain votes, to win the elections. But nobody is really talking about, okay, what does God say about this? And often what I'm finding is some of the conversation that we as Christians are having are not even biblically centered conversations. And let me give you an example. If we take just abortion, you know, and this is Freedom Radio, so we just go at it hard like this. I haven't found in the Bible specific scriptures or texts that address abortion as we know it. We have different texts that we could pull from to make up a thought process about abortion. But everything that we're dealing with as far as issues from the political perspective are not in the Bible. So let me ask you, Pastor, when something is not specifically in the Bible, how should we as Christians be approaching this from a Christ-centered perspective? And I know that may be a challenging question. It is. It's not a right or wrong answer, but just some different thoughts, because I really believe when we hear other people's opinions, and again, that's my opinion, that's what I found, we don't expect everybody to agree, but we have to respect the opinions of others. So if I didn't respect you as a person, I can't respect your opinion. So respect has a lot to do with it as well. But
well, I'm just saying, with the thought to abortion, no, there's not any scriptures, you know, that directly discuss abortion in anywhere that I've ever seen. You know, we can step back into the Old Testament, you know, when the babies were placed into the fire of Moloch, you know, which has a lot of resemblance to abortion. But as far as it being addressed directly, it's not. How do we deal with it? You have to look at, number one, it's not for me to judge you in the things that you do, but it is my responsibility to tell you between right and wrong. You know, I have to jump back to one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Do we have a right to take a life of something or someone? No, I say we don't. God did not give us that right. He took that away on the cross, if you want to take a look at that. So, you know, you can come at it from a lot of different perspectives. You know, a lot of women look at it as, you know, it's their body. They have a right to do with as they please. You know, if someone comes at it from that angle, I don't have the right to live someone's life for them.
Amen.
You know, they have to live that life and accept the consequences that come from the decisions made. And not only in abortion, but anything that we do.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter whether it's abortion or whether it's drugs or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to live with the consequences of decisions that we make, whether it's right or wrong. You know, God will ultimately make that decision, but we're the ones that have to stand before Him on Judgment Day. So.
Wow, you're knocking it out the park, Pastor. And this is what I thought about on the issue of abortion. And we will speak totally honest. That's what we do on Freedom Radio. From a Republican standpoint, from my understanding, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but from my understanding and what I've heard, that is a no-go. That's a deal breaker for a lot of Republicans. From a Democratic perspective, and those who are Democrats, feel free to correct me because I'm not one, so I can't speak totally honest about what I really don't know, but the thought process is a little bit different. Women have a right to choose what they want to do with their body. So they're really talking about two different things. But you mentioned something very, very key. You went back to the Ten Commandments. So if we just start at the Ten Commandments as Christians, thou shalt not kill. If Christ died on the cross for us, since he died on the cross for us, he took that away, we don't have a right to kill. So I don't have a problem personally with a brother or sister in Christ that is against abortion. However, let's not be one-sided. That's where I have a lot of issue, and I think others do too. But I'm not taking the side of another party. Thou shalt not kill. So that means if I'm against abortion, I should also be against the death penalty.
Well, I disagree.
Okay.
And I say I disagree in this regard, because we have to understand the text. The text was written that thou shalt not murder. Now, we take that, we can say, well, being against the death penalty, you know, we're told that we have a right to judge, that we have a right to righteously judge people. And in that, we can see that things have been, I just asked this, you know, we can get into a lot of conversation on that. Do people have a right to sit in jail for 60 years and be a drain on society for that length of time? So, I mean, how many people starve to death because that person's sitting in jail in the comforts of what they get? And not just one, but there's thousands.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people do we not feed every day because of that? Or how many people do we not help because of that situation? So, I mean, you can look at it from 100 different ways, and there really is no right or wrong perspective in that. You know, some agree and some disagree. But I do believe one thing, that if someone has deliberately hurt someone, you know, a lot of people accidentally kill folks, have a car accident, things of that nature. You know, to me that's a little different one, but when someone goes out and intentionally murders, then it has to be looked at in a different standpoint. You know, from a political standpoint, you know, there's pro and con. You know, as you said with the Republicans, Democrats, you know, one side, they take the issue of non-abortion, one side takes the issue of abortion. I don't necessarily believe that's the case just straight down the line on the Republican and Democrat across the board. I know a lot of Republican ladies that would differ with that, and I know some Democratic ladies that would differ with that. So we got to, you know, we kind of try to paint a broad brush across the spectrum and say, this is just because you're Democrat, this is what you believe, or this you're Republican, this is what you believe, and that's not always the case. So.
And that's why we have to have these type of conversations. We can respectfully disagree. We have everybody's interpretation of the Bible is a little bit different. So we have to be able to respect that. The other part of that, to add to it, because you said, well, do we have a right to allow somebody to sit in jail for 60 years while they're waiting on that needle to be put into their arm or whatever that punishment for death penalty is? And when, in respect to abortion, it's the same thing. If an individual says no to abortion, the other part of that, the ethic within that is, okay, that young lady has that child. She has that child, is not able to take care of that child. So who steps in to help that? Should it be the body of Christ helping that situation? And if it's Christians that believe it's the body of Christ, then it can't be, in my opinion, no to abortion, but we don't want to deal with any social services. We don't want the government to help out in the realm of Planned Parenthood or things of that nature that may help, or some other type of organization that may help, which funnels government dollars coming in. So what I see is when we take such a hard stance on either side without consideration of other aspects of it, like you just mentioned, the broad brush stroke type of effect. We cut off individuals. That's my concern. We cut individuals off from conversation. We cut individuals off from being able to have conversation with us, and ultimately it affects our witness. I really believe that. We're coming up on the 9 o'clock hour. It's 8:55. We have Pastor Bill Holmes from his gathering house located in Phoenix City, Alabama. If you've been live on the line with us, you know we've been having a very, very good conversation. We have another guest that's coming on in about 5 or 10 minutes. So right now, let me just say, if you have any questions for Pastor Holmes, we ask that you just press 1 on your dial pad. I'll see you light up on the switchboard. We have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of considerations to make. We have yet time to really get with God and see what God wants us to do. I know for a fact that a lot of individuals have their minds made up about who they're going to vote for. And this is what we'll talk about in the next hour, and we can talk about it right now if nobody comes in. But we did have something from social media. A young lady had made a comment yesterday before the show, and this is what she said. She said, "Politics brings out the beast in people." So my question to you, and Pastor Holmes, you can jump in on this after I read it with your thoughts. So my question to you and the rest of the talk radio staff is, how do you remain centered in Christ with so much back and forth bickering between the candidates, people placing race before Christianity? How do you rise above all the mess and still remain focused on the real issues?
I know it's loaded, Pastor, but that's a loaded question. Well, I just say this: if we all come at it from keeping God in the middle of it, and since that's what we were referring to, anyways. Mm-hmm. If we keep God in the center of everything that we're doing, then we don't have to be concerned about the bickering back and forth. As you had mentioned yourself, you said that there was a lot of different interpretations of the way the scriptures read, and that's absolutely true. But we also have to come at it from, it was written from the standpoint of God writing it to us. So we have to go back and look at in what context it was written, who was it written to, why was it written. And when we start to understand those things, we start to get better understanding of the scripture. Instead of just, I get a lot of comments a lot of different times. People say, well, I read that, but it's not what it means to me. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't make any difference what it means to you or I. It only makes a difference of what God meant when he wrote. So we have to get back to find what did he mean. And if we find what he meant, then we can say, this is our focus, because this is what we have to focus ourselves on. What was the other part of the question?
How do you rise above all the mess and still remain focused on the real issue?
Well, you have to stay in love. I mean, you just do. Even if you disagree, you have to do it respectfully. You have to do it in love with one another. You know, you're a brother in Christ, or whether you're not, doesn't make any difference. You're a human being. I have to love and respect you because you are, because God made you who you are. Mm-hmm. So, I have to give you that much courtesy. And most politicians and things don't do that.
Right.
Just to be honest.
Right.
And bickering back and forth is never going to stop. It's always going to be the poor against the rich. It's always going to be the middle class against the upper middle class. It's always going to be black against white, red against brown. I mean, it's always been, it always will be. We're never going to stop those type of things. But the one thing that we can do as the body of Christ is stand up and say, not here.
Amen.
You know, that it doesn't make any difference what color we are, what background we come from, rich or poor. It doesn't matter. You know, we're all treated equal and the same in the eyes of God. So, you know, as the scripture says, he's no respecter of persons. So it doesn't make any difference whether we got a ton of money or whether we have not a nickel to our name.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the back to the opinion, you know, our opinion simply, it simply doesn't matter. I mean, our opinion has to be based out of the scriptures if we say we are who we say we are.
All right.
Well, we have a caller that is on the line. Caller, your last four is 3501. Caller, last four is 3501. Do you have a comment or question?
Yes. Hello, JR. This is Dwayne Chick. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good, doctor. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Good to hear you. Good to hear Pastor, because his point is exactly correct, that we have to come to not just politics, but if we're to be the believers that God would have us to be, the word should influence all that we do. So if the word is influencing how I think and my actions, it would influence how I respond to the political questions and the vote. So I'm going to vote for whoever I believe is going to do the best at whatever that position is, be it president or governor or whatever the state measures are, but also having the responsibility to do something about it. And I think an important thing is that sometimes we, as believers or as people, we have an expectation from politicians that we shouldn't have. And then sometimes that causes us to be disappointed when we were expecting them to do something that it wasn't their responsibility to do. I don't believe it's the president, governor, or whoever, it's their responsibility to be the moral leaders for us. That's your job and pastor's job and my job and, you know, people who call themselves believers. That's our responsibility. So whatever the politicians or presidents or their role or their belief or their speeches as it relates to abortion or same-sex marriage, I don't look for President Obama. I'm a supporter of President Obama, but I don't look for him to set the moral standard.
That's right.
That's scripture. So if he says something that I disagree with, I agree with most of what he says, and I'm going to vote for him. I don't mind saying that. But his stance on same-sex marriages, I disagree with. But I disagree with things my wife says. I've been married 30 years. That doesn't mean I'm leaving.
All right.
And so, you know, and I'm quite sure, as good a man as I am, she probably disagrees with one or two things that I've done. But, you know, he's not going anywhere. So I think sometimes we overreact because we disagree with a politician's opinion. We overreact. And then we still have the way our government is set up. Okay, that's his opinion, but it's not policy. I can still make policy when I go and vote in my particular state about whatever that issue is. And then whatever the problems we have with government not taking care of the poor, is that their job? Or is that the job of the church that I go to and the church that you go to?
Say that one more time, Pat. Say that one more time.
I said sometimes we get upset that government is not feeding people or taking care of people, but is that their job? Or is it the job of the ministry that you go to, the church where pastor is a pastor of, the church that I go to? Is that our responsibility? And sometimes we abdicate our responsibility and then get mad when the person's not doing it. That's like me getting mad at my neighbor for not taking out my trash. That's not his job.
Right, that's right.
And sometimes I think we do that, but we do, you know, we have a part to play in politics because we live in this nation, and scripture records where, you know, they asked Jesus a question, although they were trying to trap him, but the principle says, render unto Caesar the things that are his, and unto God the things that is God's. So I think we should be involved in politics. We need to vote, but that doesn't abdicate our responsibility as believers, and then we can't expect the government to do those things that we're supposed to do. And get mad when politicians act like politicians. That's what politicians do. They act like politicians. But the problem is, are believers acting like believers? I think that's the bigger issue.
I'm glad somebody is saying it other than me, because in the mouths of two or three witnesses, it shall be established. And I think we have enough people that are, enough brothers and sisters that are speaking that, but for whatever reason, it's being overshadowed by, again, go back to what our social media statement was about all the mess, all the bickering. Those things outshadow the good that's going on. Brother Stig, the pastor that's here with us, his storehouse food bank, I don't know if he was on at the top of the hour,
yes,
but this is a ministry within the church that he pastors that feeds needy people, not just physical food, but spiritual food.
And here we are talking
about what the government is not doing, but yet we have a ministry in our community. We live in the same community, in our community, that is doing it.
He only feeds people that agrees with him politically, right?
No, sir. It doesn't matter. That's the
exactly.
whole thing. It does not matter, and that's where you're going. That's where I'm going. That's where Pastor Holmes is going. And I thank you for your comment. We have our next guest has signaled that he's ready to start. So, again, Pastor, if you want to give us final words for this segment as we go into the next segment, we'll go ahead and appreciate it.
Yeah, I would just I want to kind of comment on what he said, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. I just think that if the church is meeting their responsibility and doing the things that they're supposed to do, then we don't need to rely on government as much. We can rely on God and each other more than what we actually do. Instead of looking to the government for our support, we can look to God to be who he's supposed to be.
Thank you, Pastor. So let's give Pastor a round of applause for coming and sharing with us. Pastor, if you still have time, you want to stay here while we go to the next half of the show and chime in, we greatly appreciate it. So at this particular time, Mr. Carter, are you on the line with us, sir?
I'm here, sir.
How are you doing this fine evening?
I am blessed and highly favored. Very interesting conversation I've been listening to, but I'm okay. I'm wonderful. And boy, I wish I could have got in on that first segment to chime in on some of the things I was hearing. But I'm okay. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm good. Well, let me introduce you to our Freedom Radio listening audience. Tonight, our second guest is Mr. Antonio Carter. He's a 36-year-old civil human rights activist. He was in this game at the age of 26, so he has 10 years of experience under his belt. He's a former host of Talkline Political and Social Issues radio show, which was here in Columbus, Georgia. And now, to my understanding, you're a current life empowerment speaker. You're still a political activist. You're an entrepreneur. You have a couple of notches in your belt. So we welcome you this first time as a guest to the show, although we know that you've been a caller to the show on several occasions. So, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. Antonio Carter. I just like
Thank
this
you.
Little applause sound thing. I found it,
yeah.
And you know, I'm not going to let it go. Every time I get a chance to use it, I'm going to use it.
I like it. You can do it as much as you like. It makes me feel good. So, you know, I'm a speaker, so I enjoy listening to the audience clap. You know, that way I know they're receiving what I'm saying. So anytime you want to do the little applause thing while I'm talking, feel free.
You know, we got to have fun. You know, the world is going through a lot of different changes, and if
no
we as men and women of God are, we don't have fun, if we don't look at things from a different perspective, you know, we'll be miserable like a lot of other individuals are, and I just refuse not to be that way.
That's true.
Mr. Carter, you wanted to chime in. If there's something that you wanted to chime in on
man.
The first time, please go ahead now. You know,
boy,
I know you want to talk. And we probably could have had a two-hour show with just you and I, but
yeah.
I got some things I want to ask you too, my brother.
Sure. Well, I'm going to allow you to do that, you know, but I will comment on just the last portion that I was listening to when your two guests were talking about whether or not government had a responsibility to do some of these things in the community that we're talking about. I know you said the pastor has a food bank, which is admirable, and I can appreciate that. But, you know, one of the things that always strikes me, and it's kind of funny and odd to me, is that here in a country in which we pay taxes, you know, we and the church has a huge responsibility and a role to play in each community. But, you know, I, for one, cannot find a reason to get upset with a government of mine that you know, does welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, and so many other things for the simple fact. You know, when I pay my property taxes, when I pay my payroll taxes, whatever it may be, I can't get mad with the government for helping people in this country when we send billions and billions and billions of dollars in aid to other countries that have absolutely nothing to do with us. You can call them our allies or anything you want to do, but these other countries that we send billions of dollars to each year, to help aid them, you know, excuse me for saying it this way, but how in the hell can I get upset with my government for the homeless people who are here, for the hungry people who are here, for those people who may be less fortunate at this particular point in time? How can I get upset with my government for using my tax dollars to help Americans when we send billions of dollars in aid to other countries every year? So those are some of the things we need to think about. When we talk about the church and what its role is in our community and whether or not government ought to be doing something, I just find it very hard to get upset with government for helping people in the United States of America when that's where that tax base comes from. So, you know, it's a lot of things I could have talked about in that particular series. But again, you know, how do we get upset with our government? And a lot of people use that term big government and little government. That's another one of those Democrat or Republican terms that we like to use. Republicans are for small government, small efficient government. Democrats are for big social government. You know, there is no such thing as big or small government. It's a play term. It's a catchword. It doesn't matter what anyone wants to say. Programs like welfare take up less than 1%, less than 1%, Brother Dunlap, of the budget. So, you know, we trick people into believing that the government puts out so much money in helping the homeless, in helping people with welfare, in helping people with some of these social programs, when the truth is it takes up less than 1% of what the nation's budget is. And I'll leave that there.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to have to do, like CNN, we're going to have to do some fact-finding on that statement of 1%. We're lucky. I never heard that. That seems like a very small amount. And
go check it out.
I really would. And if you have some references that you can throw out as we talk, please do so, because we want people to be informed. And we know that where you get your information from makes all the difference.
Sure.
I took statistics in college. And I could put up two charts, and both of them can have an endpoint of 100. And I can make it look like from 0 to 100, it just skyrocketed, like profits out of this world. And then I can also make going from 0 to 100 looking like it's going really, really slow.
No doubt.
You know, that's one of the things that I would say in Christ-centered politics. We want to be truthful. We want to be honest. And, again, I'm not saying that you're not, but
we know
that individuals play with the terminologies, like you said, big government, small government. I have a master's in public administration. Never heard that in any of my education, formal education, at Columbus State. So it is words that are put out there for divisiveness, for misleading purposes in Christ-centered politics.
Yeah.
We have to be connected to the source to be able to discern those type of things. So I appreciate you putting that out there. Since you have a very, how do I put it? You are very involved in the political arena, and you have been for so long. Let me throw something out to you, Mr. Carter. On CNN, I saw a couple of nights ago that 60% of voters had already made up their mind who they will vote for. So one of the questions that I had was, should we know by now? Should people know by now, or from a political standpoint, should it be based on the debates, and I'm going somewhere with this as well, but should it be based on the debates? How influential should the debates actually have? And the reason we have about 30 days before the elections come up.
Correct.
And that's a long time for a lot of things to either happen or not happen by either candidate or by either party. So shouldn't the debates have some type of influence in the decision-making process? That's a question I'm going to put out there. Is it important for us to hear both sides of these individuals, especially since, regardless of whatever side you take, the truth sometimes seems to be distorted? Again, like I mentioned a minute ago, statistics get manipulated. Like Pastor Holmes said, things get taken out of context. So what is your take on that? And again, dealing with this Christ-centered politics as the focal point of where we're taking tonight's show.
My perspective will be this. Figures don't lie. Liars figure. That's the first thing. And when you talk about whether or not we should know by now, I can tell you personally that I know, certainly. And I'm not afraid to say that I'll be voting for Barack Obama. But let me say this much. One of the beautiful things about incumbents in politics is that they have this little thing that follows them called a track record. And the great thing that we've had in this country for the past 2 years is that nearly every single legitimate candidate we've had run for president, they've all had track records either as incumbent presidents or they had not been presidents. They had either been United States senators, they had either been governors, they had either been congressmen, or at some particular point in time they served in an administration, whether it was at the federal level or the state level. Typically, these people have track records that follow them. And what I'm saying when I say this is that, you know, you don't just wake up one morning and decide that you want to run for president of the United States of America. It takes a ton of money to do something like that today. You don't just wake up one morning and decide that you want to run for the United States Senate. So what happens is over a period of time, most of these people take small steps in building their political resumes to the point that they are legitimate contenders. And once the public begins to vet them, they'll be able to say, okay, this is Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey, or you know, this is Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, or this is George W. Bush, former governor of Texas. This is Mitt Romney, former governor of Massachusetts. This is Barack Obama, former state or U.S. senator from the state of Illinois. These people have track records that follow them. We know how they voted on so many issues. We've been able to listen to them on many of these interviews from CNN and Fox. You know, so we've had a long time to follow these people and to understand what they are really about, what they stand for, what their policies are, and we can make our decisions. I, for one, don't have to see a debate. I'm going to tell you what I think about political debates. Political debates usually it displays that one candidate has more charisma than the other one, and it's nothing but political posturing. That's all debates are. So, you know, I'll ask a question of one of the candidates. Of course, they will typically, if you're a Democrat, you'll give me the Democrat view, which will be perhaps we may have to raise taxes, so on and so forth. I ask the same question, you may give me the conservative view. Read my lips, no new taxes. Read my lips as a conservative or a Republican. We like small government. You know, read my lips as a Democrat. No matter what they say about us, we are strong on defense. So these things are really for political posturing more so than they are to actually give people the idea of who they're going to be voting for. To sum it up, let's say it this way. Mitt Romney now is saying he is staunchly against Barack Obama, or what they call Barack Obama's Obamacare, which is actually nationalized health care. He was a huge sponsor of it when he was the governor of Massachusetts. But now he's staunchly against Barack's program simply because he is trying to win. You know, so they have a track record. And if you don't know who you're going to be voting for by now, I'm not exactly sure why you don't. You've been able to look at these two individuals. You can go and check their track record. You can see what they voted on. You can see the pieces of legislation that Barack Obama has signed that's been sent to him by the House and the Senate. You've had a chance to look at the two of them and make a very, very educated decision on who you'll be voting for. So, you know, in terms of how much the debates matter, the debates will matter on style points. There will be small things here or there that said that the media will take, they'll hone in on, and they'll begin to push these things out here. Well, you know, the president slipped when he said this, or I think Mitt Romney slipped when he may have said this. And they'll also do this, Mr. Dunlap. They'll usually pick a winner of the debate. You know, they usually say this person won the debate. This person won the debate based on what? There's a very good website called factcheck.org in terms of politics, because usually in these debates, the truth is somewhere in the middle when these candidates start talking. You know, they don't always give the full truth. They just put some of it out there, sugarcoat it, or they lean it a little bit to the right, or they lean it a little bit to the left, just to make sure it falls in line with what they're trying to say. But factcheck.org, typically after a debate, they will go and dissect every word that the candidates have said in terms of their answer. And they'll come back, they'll check the congressional budgets, you know, they'll check all those different congressional offices, and they'll say, okay, this is the truth about what was said here. So, again, just to answer your question and not to get too far off base, I think the debates will matter in terms of showing who has more charisma. But in terms of their policies, I don't think any of us are going to be shocked in terms of what happens with policy between the two of them in a debate.
Well, and here's what you said. It's about political posturing.
It is
a debate. So none of us should have a problem with an individual trying to win what he or she is going after.
Right.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't believe Christ would have a problem with that as well. But the thing that I believe that Christ would have a problem with, and we as Christians should have a problem with it as well, is something that you said. They don't always tell the truth.
Right.
So for me, I think that the debate is an opportunity for us as believers dealing with Christ center politics to be able to look at that from a perspective of discernment. Let me get with God. Maybe we should pray before we go and watch the debate, so God can speak to us about who's telling the truth and who's lying. A lie, if it's not the truth, it's a lie. There is nothing that we can say about a half lie. There is no such thing as a white lie. A white lie is the same thing as a black lie. Both of them have the same last name. It's called lie. So in the big scheme of things, that sounded funny to somebody out here laughing. So in the big scheme of things, Christ-centered politics for me says, look, let me be able to let God speak to me about who I'm watching, because we understand that it is a game. We understand it's about gaining power. We understand it's about gaining control. However, if you have to gain control, I don't care who you are, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, governor, Republican, governor, Democrat, it does not matter. If you have to lie, if you have to bend the truth to get into position, that tells me that God is not putting you there. You're trying to put yourself there. So we have to be willing to stand up for the right thing. Now, I think I asked this question, and you may have listened to the show before, Mr. Carter. When our party, Christ Center Politics, that's what we're talking about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when our party is saying things that we know are not the truth, and we sit back and we don't say anything about it, but we just hold so true to being a part of that party, doesn't that affect our witness? Doesn't that affect what people may think about us? I'm not talking about regular old Joe. I'm talking about those individuals that may need some help from you as a brother or sister in Christ. You know, so when we align ourselves with the party and we're not standing up for Christ inside of that party, what do you think, Mr. Carter? How do you think that affects us? I know what my opinion is, but let the listeners hear what your opinion is on that.
Wow. Well, you know, I think it affects our witness greatly. And I want to say this, you know, I don't know if there are any pastors on the phone listening or you know, I know you are a reverend yourself. But, you know, I always.
Pastor Holmes is still with us. So, he's here with us. And
okay.
Brother Stig, you know, he's a minister as well.
You know, I've always said this, and being so close to politics, you know, at the young age of 26, I actually worked for a man who was running for president of the United States of America. And I got an opportunity, you know, since maybe I was 19 or 20 or 21, I've been involved in politics at the age of 25 or 26, involved in national politics. I had the opportunity and have had the opportunity to meet wonderful, great leaders all across the nation, to talk to what I consider to be some of the brightest minds and to pick their brains. Having dealt with ministers and pastors for so long, you know, I don't think you can be a pastor and be a politician at the same time. It almost goes to say when God says, you know, there shall have no other gods before me, you cannot serve two gods. If you are involved in politics, politics is not about doing the right thing. That's the first thing we have to establish when you talk about politics. Politics is not about doing the right thing. Politics is about a compromise by which most, if not all parties involved, can be satisfied with what we are getting here. So when you hear John Bonner talk about sitting down at the table with Barack Obama, when you see they had that huge deal that fell apart maybe a year or so ago because Bonner said he couldn't get Obama to the table, and Obama says he was ready, but they couldn't get the Republicans to come to the table, so on and so forth. You know, typically politics is not about doing what's right. Politics has become about winning. My party wants to win at all costs. It does not matter if what we are getting ready to do is going to affect an entire segment of the country. We just want to win. And that's why you see so many lies. That's why you see so much bickering. That's why you see so many half-truths. Because politics has become about a compromise by which my party can come out on top. So when you talk about towing the party line, and that's what we call it in politics, towing the party line, meaning that in my faith conviction as being a follower of Jesus the Christ, if I know my party is getting ready to do something that goes against my Christian principles, and rather than me stand up and say to my party, you know, I've built some great relationships with you all over the years, and I know we've done some great works together, but this is unchristian-like. Therefore, I cannot be a part of it. Therefore, I will not be a part of it. That's a rare thing. And if you remember, that happened when George W. Bush was president. There was a U.S. senator by the name of Joe Lieberman. Do you remember Joe Lieberman?
I do.
Joe Lieberman thought that what George W. Bush was getting ready to do was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Democrats castigated him for that. Not only did they castigate him, they kicked him out of the party.
Hold that thought though. His party kicked him out. So what I would say, dealing with Christ-centered politics, if he was making that decision based upon his Christian ethics, then we should praise Joe Lieberman for standing up for Christ.
Absolutely.
And if that's what his party did, then we should say he's willing to stand up and say, you know what, that was all the way wrong. That was dead wrong for them to do that. But again, you and I talked about this before. We can't make an individual who is not of Christ do things that we would do as a person of Christ. So we talked about this with the legislative morality issue that we talked about yesterday.
Right.
Let me go here. You mentioned what politics is. And again, we're talking about Christ-centered politics because government is made up of people. So everybody that is involved in this process, whether you are somebody who is voting or running for office, you're a person, you're a human being. The individuals make up government. The individuals are the ones that sign their names on policies. The individuals are the ones that type up 1,000-page bills and submit them before Congress and the Senate. It is the individuals that are doing that. And here's what I would say, going back to your point about the pastor. Why can I not, as a pastor, be a politician? Because here's the reality. Being a pastor, and Pastor Holmes, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not one. Pastoring is a vocation, but it's also your calling. So we know some pastors get paid to be pastors. I know Pastor Holmes does not get paid for being a pastor at his gathering house, but we know some that do. So what is the difference in that pastor who receives a salary or a stipend or love offering from their congregation or those individuals that are financially supporting him or her than me going to my job working in that vocation? Because I believe that when we as Christians, we're supposed to shine wherever we go. So I think that, you know, we will disagree on that one, but we'll, you know, if we were together, we can hug and go our separate ways at the end. But I should be able to. Why are we looking for men and women of God to serve in those positions? If we want individuals to stand up for the right thing, to show that light that we as Christians are supposed to have, why should we continue to accept anybody serving in our political position and then complain about the things that they're not doing that are not Christ-like?
Well, if I understand your question correctly, let me first of all say this. I certainly think, and I am not against pastors being paid by their congregations for the work that they may do. The Bible said, man don't work, he don't eat. And pastoring is certainly work. There's absolutely no doubt about that. There's a ton of studying that goes into pastoring. There are a ton of hours when you are out counseling families who may be having issues and visiting the sick and all of those things. So I certainly don't want to give anyone the impression who may be listening to me tonight that I don't believe pastors should be paid. I think what I was trying to say was when you asked me the question about how do these things affect our stewardship and in terms of us being Christians, what I was trying to say, I find it almost, I don't think your religious views and your political views can line up totally with either party. If you are a 100% staunch
right.
lover of Jesus the Christ and you are always going to do what God would have you do, I don't think you can play the game of politics. And I guess that's what I meant to say when I were talking about pastors and preachers who get involved in politics. I've always found it difficult to see pastors and preachers get into politics because having been involved in it, it is such a dirty, treacherous, nasty game. And people and pastors who are actually fervently involved in their ministries don't compromise when it comes to God's word. If God's word says you should do this, pastors don't compromise on that, period. So that's why I was saying I find it difficult sometimes to understand how pastors navigate the dirty world of politics. So, you know, I hope you didn't misunderstand me in terms of pastors being paid or anything like that. I certainly believe they should receive a salary. And, you know, I know a lot of pastors who are very well taken care of. You know, I heard someone talking the other day, and they were mentioning that a particular pastor in the area has a Bentley. And I said, what's wrong with that? If T.I. or one of these rappers pulled up around here in a Bentley, nobody would have anything to say about it. So what's wrong with the man of God driving a $500,000 car? So I don't have any issues with that, Brother Dunlap. So I just want to be clear on that.
Well, you know me, brother, and that's what we have to do. We don't want anybody just to take, you know, this is not Fox. This is not MSNBC. We don't want for anybody to just take a snippet of something and then run with it. So that's for us. This is what we do on Freedom Radio. We resurrect responsible dialogue. That means we take the time to have the conversation, to communicate so that everything is clear about what you're saying, what I'm saying, what our callers are saying. Let me say something else. And I think I may have mentioned it a couple of shows ago. Let the show end on these next couple of things, if you will. I believe that everybody has the right to vote. You, as well as I, have the right to vote for whomever I want to vote for, whomever you want to vote for. Christ in the politics. God must be involved in that process. If my voting decision is not involving God, then I would say that we're not utilizing Christ in the politics. We're not putting Christ in the middle of our decision making.
I agree with you.
Whether it is politics, whether it is searching for a job, whether it is marrying that man or that woman, politics is no different than every major move that we make in our lives. And voting is a major move that we make in our lives, because a lot of people pay the price for a lot of us to be able to vote. There's a lot of years have gone on in our country's history where a lot of people were not able to vote. So for that respect, how do you see God in your process of voting?
You know, man, that is a very tough question you just asked, but it is a good question, and I'm going to try my best to answer it as honestly as I can. You know, I think God puts a moral compass in all of us. You know, I tell people this all the time, and when I'm speaking, I try to teach this. A lie is as natural as the truth. You know, nobody takes their little 3 or 4 year old child and actually teaches them how to tell a lie. You know, you tell the child, don't go back in there and get any cookies out of the cookie jar. And when you turn your back, they go in there to get cookies, and they got chocolate all over their face. And when they come in the room, you say, you know, Junior, did you go back in there and get any of those cookies out of that jar? And they say, no, Daddy, I didn't do that, but you're looking at their mouth and they got cookies all over it, so you know they're lying. You didn't teach your child how to tell that lie. The issue is the lie is as natural as the truth, because in every one of us, God has placed the ability, you know, the pastor talked about it before, of knowing right and wrong. I have for myself had to look at both political parties in terms of my voting. You know, I will vote for a Republican as well as a Democrat, and I am a registered Democrat. But this is what I have to do, and I say this often, and sometimes people don't like it. I call it the lesser of two evils. You know, sometimes you have to look at what people are saying, you know, what their policies are. We all have different interpretations of things. You know, the pastor was talking earlier about God's word. Well, you may read something, Brother Dunlap, and you may see it as saying something totally different than when I see it and I read it. I may interpret it totally different. You know, the Bible says, study to show thyself they proved a workman. So we may all get something different when we study things. But in terms of me voting and Christ-centered politics, for me, I just don't believe you can be a 100%, and I am a Christian before I make this statement. I think if you are a 100% staunch Christian, you cannot fall squarely on the side of Democrat or Republican. They will have to create a third party, which will be the BA party, which is the Born Again party, because Republicans have some things that are certainly unchristian-like, in my opinion, and Democrats have some things that are certainly unchristian-like in their party. So what I do is I pray. I try to look at the different political platforms, and I try to say to myself, which one of these falls more in line by a preponderance of what it is they believe and espouse more so than the other one? Because just the truth be told, Brother Dunlap, Democrats nor Republicans, ain't neither one of them worth nothing. And I don't care how anybody feels about me saying that. Democrats are politicians just like Republicans are politicians. Neither one of them are good for anything besides trying to get their particular political party in power so they can bring forth their agenda. And typically their agenda is not going to be in line with what God's agenda is. So neither one of them are worth a dime, in my opinion. You just have to pick the lesser of two evils. And kind of like a judge says, by preponderance of the evidence, which they have put forth by their works and the things they've done over the years, which one of these will Mitt Romney fall more in line with what it is that I think God would have this country move towards, or would that be Barack Obama who was going to fall more in line with what God would have this country move forward to? You know, people say God chooses leaders. I don't believe that. Everything that happens on this earth happens by either God's passive or permissive will. God allows us to do our business on this earth by his passive will, which means that you know what you do when you pacify a baby? God either pacifies or he gives permission for things to happen. So again, you know, I just don't believe either one of these particular political parties, Brother Dunlap, fall totally in line with what God's will and his way is. So I try to choose the lesser of the two evils. And I know a lot of people are going to take exception with me saying it that way.
And that's okay. Everybody has a right to their own opinion. Pastor Holmes, what's your take on voting and God being involved in that process of how you cast your vote? I'm not asking you to share who you're voting for. That's between you and the polls.
Well, I would say that I have to agree. I have to agree with what he just said. You know, it's most of the time that's where we find ourselves, having to choose between the lesser of two evils. But I will just say this, that if we would stand up as believers and start to do the things that we should do, start to teach the way that we should teach, I would say that opinions and hearts would change. Opinions would change that when we would see more and more biblical leaders step to the forefront, more people that follow Christ. And we're never going to change the political system until we change the people.
hearts and minds. Nothing else changed. It'll only be things that's in there. But I agree with you. You know, we see that we've got things in the rest of the community.
We're coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and I really just want to really thank both of our guests today, Pastor Holmes from His Gathering House, man of God, pastor of 7 years, Brother Antonio Carter, political activist, entrepreneur, a man that speaks from the heart, has a very good understanding of the political process, because what we know and what we understand is a lot of people don't have an understanding of the political process. I think one of the dangers to the situation becomes when we are following individuals who don't know what's going on, when our information is coming from, and I'll say it, comes from MSNBC, which is, in my opinion, from what I've seen, pro-Democrat, or from Fox News, which, in my opinion, from what I've seen, is pro-Republican. And I'm going to say it like that because we're dealing with Christ in the politics. I'm not going to say anti-Democrat. I'm not going to say anti-Republican because, see, that's that worldly talk. So we as Christians have to have a different type of speech as we're engaging in this area of politics. One of the saddest things that I heard, and this has been about a month or so ago, was a lady to tell me that she's not going to vote. And one of the things that she said was, I'm not going to vote because Mitt Romney is a Mormon. And I'm not going to vote because Barack Obama is a Muslim. And I can tell you, when I heard that, I really asked her to explain what she was talking about. And she had nothing more than that. That was something that she heard, a soundbite. I know Barack Obama has said he is a Christian. Just as I say that I'm a Christian, just as I have introduced Pastor Holmes as a pastor, there's nobody that should refute that. You have no information to refute that Pastor Holmes is a pastor, that I am a minister, that Brother Carter has worked in the areas that he's worked in. So until we get some different information, which has to be factual information, it's very unfair to say what somebody is or is not. Now we're being judgmental. So we're not doing Christ in the politics. But something that I could say has disturbed me. Brother Carter, put on mute for me, if you will, sir.
How do I do that? I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll put you on mute on our end until I bring you back, all right?
Okay, yes, sir.
All right. I remember hearing some Christians say, back coming into the 2008 election, that they could not vote for Mitt Romney because he was a Mormon. So I heard that theme. This is the second time approaching both of the elections that I heard that theme. And that kind of just draws, this is how we're going to sum this up. If God is in control, which we believe that God is in control, anybody can sit in that position because it's not the church. It's a governmental system. It's not based upon all Christians. We can't legislate morality. We can't, despite our greatest efforts, everybody in the White House is not going to be a Christian. Just like everybody that you buy groceries from is not a Christian. Just like every place that you go and pump gas is not coming from the United States of America or refineries, it's coming from overseas. So when we be critical about individuals and political parties and affiliations, I think we really need to be checking ourselves and saying, where is God at in that situation? I believe that Mitt Romney could be president if God so allows it. I believe that Barack Obama can be president if God so allows it. Regardless of who's president, we still have to do what we need to do as a church. So in the big scheme of things, Freedom Radio listeners, the question is, what are we going to do? If we wait for an individual to be put into the White House that fits our needs, that lines up with our political party, we're going to miss the boat. Pastor Holmes, you said it greatly. We are a big reason why things are the way they are.
So we have to do something different. And hopefully this discussion about Christ-centered politics, with 30-something days left before the election, for those who will listen, whoever wants to listen, let them listen. Hopefully this will be an opportunity for people to hear. So tell your friends about it. Go to the We Speak Association page. Directly on the left side of the page, there's a picture of the founder of the We Speak Association, Shelley Caldwell. Underneath her picture is a little button that says follow. Click that button. When you click that button, it lets the We Speak Association and Blog Talk Radio know that you're interested in the topic that we're bringing, that you like the job that we're doing. We're human. We're just trying to follow God in the best way that we know how so that individuals' lives can be changed. We're going to believe that individuals' lives will be changed, the mindsets will be changed a little bit, or totally changed or transformed from what you're hearing tonight. So, Brother Card, I'm going to bring you back to the line. Let me let you go ahead and give a final comment before we go ahead and sign off for the evening, good brother.
Well, I just want to thank you for allowing me to come on and spend a few minutes with you. As always, you do a great job. You do a wonderful service to the community, and we really do appreciate it. I want to leave your listeners with this, though, you know, because I know we're talking a lot about the presidential election. And being involved in politics for so long, I like to tell people always, you know, you talked about Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, two great men, I think. And whomever wins, that person will be our president, and we have to give them our support whether we chose to vote for them or not. But, you know, the president is really not the individual that affects you the most. Where the rubber meets the road in politics is at the local level, and that is typically your mayor, your sheriff, your state representative, your state senator. Perhaps maybe your congressman to an extent, because they typically control how much money comes back to your area for various programs and that kind of thing. So one of the things I don't want us to lose sight on, and when it comes to choosing who our president is going to be, not only do you have the opportunity to choose who your president is going to be, but you are actually going to have the opportunity in November to where the rubber meets the road in politics. You're going to have the opportunity to choose your sheriff in most states. You're going to have the opportunity to choose your U.S. congressmen, your U.S. senators. You're going to have an opportunity to choose tons of people that actually affect what's really going on right in the heart of your community. So that's going to be Christ-centered politics also. So not just for the presidential election. So, you know, everybody should not only be praying about who they should be voting for as president of this country, but vote for and about those people who will actually be making the decisions that affect what happens in your community. And again, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. To the pastor on the other line, I think you did a wonderful job. Great words of inspiration and teaching and guiding. And I just look forward to spending time with you all whenever we can do it again. Thank you so much for having me. May God bless both of you.
We thank you so much, Brother Carter, Mr. Carter, for those who like to be in the formal title business. Pastor Holmes, again, I thank you for your comments, and thank you for allowing God to use you. Thank you for being a pastor who is willing to stand up and say what is in his heart. Because as a lot of our listeners may know, it's a difficult thing to get individuals who occupy that position of pastor, who live within that calling of pastor, that are willing to do what you did tonight, not just on Freedom Radio, but on other mediums as well, for fear of what are the people going to think. So if you're standing up for God, if you're standing up for Christ, if you're operating within Christ-centered politics, what you say is not going to do what individuals think is going to do from a negative perspective. It has nothing, it can do nothing but bless. So I think, and I know that you've blessed us today with your presence, and we're going to hit topics like this in the future. We have to talk about things that you as a pastor may not be able to get to Sunday after Sunday. So there has to be some other Christ-centered conversations, some other respectable dialogue, responsible dialogue that is out there for us as men and women of God to be able to come to the table and talk. Again, this whole series on politics in the church has really been about diversity. It's about accepting the other. It's about embracing the other.
It's about being one with Christ, but also being one with your brother and sister. You can't live up to that Christian ethic, that love ethic that Jesus put out there for us in the scriptures of love one another or love ye one another if you're not willing to have a conversation with who the other is. You don't know what the other needs if you don't have a conversation with them. So with that, Freedom Radio listeners, we'll meet you back again next Tuesday. Sister Skeen will be back with us. I don't have her topic, but as always, we can rest assured that it will be a very good topic of discussion. 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, same bat time, same bat channel. Pray before you vote. Pray before you watch the debate. Allow God to speak to your heart about the decision that you need to make, not only on a presidential level, but the state level, the local level. I'll leave you with this. In the city of Phoenix City, there's about 30,000 individuals, citizens. And there was recently an election, and about 5,000, a little over 5,000 people came to vote. There's a lot of that 25,000 who are men and women of God. So if you don't come out to vote for your local election, I really don't pay too much attention to what you're saying to me about what goes on the national scene if you're not concerned about the place where you live, work, go to school, where you raise your children each and every day. So we love you as always. God bless you and have a great evening.